Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's time for us to gather together, to pray together. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs, and we're here to pray for you today. So if you have a prayer request, a need, a concern, a burden, maybe a praise, a celebration, you want to thank God for an answer to prayer, praise Him for a blessing He's brought into your life, whatever it may be, let's share it together, and let's pray together and bring it to the Lord. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We don't give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. Unless you specifically ask us to use your name, we don't do it. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. We just want to pray for you. So once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to pray together, to encourage each other in prayer, to lift each other up, bear one another's burdens, strengthen and encourage one another. We pray that you would move with power, might, and strength in the lives of your people, that you would build us up in your word and in your truth. Lord, that we would find help and hope in you and find strength in you. And pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And today we're going to finish up on the Lord's Prayer. We've been looking at this all week. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So we talked about yesterday about it, the first part of this, about God hallowed, three things that we ask God to do on his behalf, that he would make his name holy, his kingdom has come, and his will would be done, and how all those are eschatological prayers, that all that happens at the second coming of Christ. These are once for all kind of occurrences. So we begin with that prayer for the coming kingdom, that God's kingdom will come in all its fullness and all its glory. But we know that that has not happened yet. We await that coming. The kingdom has come, but it is not totally fulfilled. It's the what they call the already, not yet. That the kingdom is already here, but it's not yet reached its fulfillment that it will in Christ. And so until then, we have these two parallel kingdoms going, the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of God. And we live in the kingdom of the world as representatives of the kingdom of God. You know, our physical place is in the kingdom of the world, and we are there. But our citizenship is in the kingdom of God. We are, as Peter says in his, we are strangers and aliens in this land. And so as we're sojourning here in a land that in a kingdom that is not ours, longing for the kingdom to come, that's where the rest of this prayer comes in. So we begin by praying for that coming of the kingdom. But until then, we pray for what is necessary to sustain us in this kingdom until that kingdom comes. So today, he begins with our daily bread, our daily needs. And notice it's a daily thing. Not our weekly bread, our monthly bread, or yearly bread, but daily. That each day we come to God seeking his needs. You know, the best illustration of this in the Bible is when the Israelites were in the desert and every day God sent manna. And every day the people would eat manna. But if you stored it up, the next day it was rotten. You could only gather enough for that day. If you had left over, you know, you get up the next morning and it would be rotted again. So every day they had to get up and gather the manna. Each day God provided for them. Why did he do that? He wanted them to learn a day-by-day dependence upon the Lord. And so every day they had to gather up the manna. Every day they were relying upon God to give them what they needed. And so are we. So we pray to God every day for that day's needs. What do I need for this day? So we're certainly called to pray for our needs. Nothing wrong with that. But we're called to pray for that day's needs. And it's for our needs. You know, not our wants and desires, but praying for our needs. And it says daily bread, and obviously we need our food and things like that, but this is more than that. You know, it's whatever we may need that day, emotionally, spiritually, physically. We come to God and we ask him for that, to give us this day what we need. And maybe what we need today is to God to protect us from worry. Lord, help me not to worry today. You know, God's convicted you. You're worrying too much. All right, I got to stop worrying. How do we do it? Day by day. Lord, help me today not to worry. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Today, help me not to worry. Today, you know, maybe you got tight finances. Today, Lord, help me to have the finances I need to get through today. Today the rent's due, today this bill has to be paid, whatever. Lord, today, give me the finances I need to get through today. So whatever that daily need is, we bring it before the Lord. And then he tells us, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. This word debts in the Greek was, it's debts. But it had been used, it was a commercial term, right? I have a debt, I owe you this. But it had come to be used as a metaphor for sin. So this was a common metaphor for sin in that day, using the word debts. It was like we have metaphors all the time, right? Well, that was theirs. Sin was this debt that we had to God. So it's a prayer for forgiveness of our sins, that we will both be forgiven and be forgiving. Now, this is a two-part prayer. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That our forgiveness that we receive from God is based on our forgiveness that we give to others. Now, this doesn't mean that God's forgiveness is conditional. It's not. The problem is if I'm unforgiving to another person, then I'm in sin. You know, it's a sin for me not to forgive others. And so I have to first repent of that sin to be forgiven, right? There's no forgiveness without repentance. We have to repent of our sin to be forgiven. We actually have to seek forgiveness. Well, if I'm persisting in a sin and not repenting of it, I can't be forgiven. I first need to acknowledge that sin and confess it. So if I have an unforgiving heart, God can't forgive me as long as I'm persisting in that sin. So to be forgiven, we need to be repentant. So this is as much a prayer for a repentant heart as it is for a forgiving heart. That we've been forgiven and we need to extend that forgiveness to others. God, forgive us and make us forgiving. Help us to be forgiving of others. We know that we need to go to God and seek forgiveness. You know, repentance is an important part of our spiritual walk. None of us is perfect. We all fail. We need to confess that sin before the Lord. We need to be honest about it. We also need to extend that to others. That these are both practices of sanctification. These are both practices of spiritual discipline and spiritual growth. We can't grow if sin is hindering us, so we need to repent of it. And we can't grow if we're unforgiving. And it's interesting that this is the one sin that God mentions in this prayer. You know, forgive us our debts. Those could be anything, right? Our debts could be anything. And there's all kinds of sins that we could commit. The only specific sin that God mentions in this prayer is the sin of unforgiveness, which I think tells us something important that we need to understand. Our call in life is to be Christ-like. That is our purpose, to be made like Christ. And that can only happen, you know, if we reflect the character of Christ. And the character of Christ is to be forgiving. So, we're praying as much about forgiveness as we are about being made Christ-like. I need to be forgiven of my sin, so that can be washed away, because that doesn't reflect Christ. I need to be forgiving, because that does reflect Christ. And so we have a prayer to God to cover our daily needs. We have a prayer to God for forgiveness and to make us forgiving. And then lastly, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this sometimes gets a little misconstrued. It's like, because God's not leading us into temptation. You know, James says that God does not tempt. You know, because it, if we read it that way, it's almost like, you know, God, I know you want to lead me into temptation, but I'm asking you not to do it. In other words, spare us from temptation. Deliver us from those temptations that will be around us. You know, God doesn't need to lead us in temptation. We're temptations everywhere. You know, it's not like, oh, I wouldn't have been tempted if God hadn't led me into it. Well, no, I mean, there's temptation everywhere. We're surrounded by temptation constantly. We can't escape it. So it's not like, oh, I would have been a tempted-free life if God hadn't led me into it. No, no, not at all. Rather, it's a prayer that God lead us through those temptations, deliver us from those temptations. Lead us not into them, but away from them. Deliver us from them, from the temptations that are there awaiting us. They surround us every day. They assail us every day. We can't escape them. So we pray for deliverance from them. That our attention would be turned away from temptations and toward God. That we would pay no attention or heed to them, but keep our focus on God. That we would be delivered from them, from things that could lead us astray. Because we live in this worldly kingdom, because we long for the coming of the kingdom and the fulfillment of the kingdom, but it's not here yet. And so we live in this worldly kingdom in opposition to God. We know there's going to be trials, temptations, difficulties. Our prayer to God is for his kingdom to come, which is the ultimate deliverance from this. But until then, to sustain us in this worldly kingdom as his kingdom people. And that's really the heart of the Lord's Prayer. Sustain us in this worldly kingdom as his kingdom people until his kingdom comes. So that when it comes, he'll find us faithful. Worthy servants, to whom he can indeed say, well done, my good and faithful servant.